Hello, this is former boxing referee Joe Cortez along with John Zemo, and welcome to the Fair But Firm Signature Fight podcast show covering everything in sport of boxing and beyond. Well, today we'll take a look at the most recent crossover boxing match between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Conor McGregor with special guests Mark Reiner and Jesse Vargas. Jesse Vargas, two-time world champion. Mark Reiner, former executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and now vice president of UFC on the MMA. He's done a great job. Believe me, when I talk about Mark Reiner, we're talking about somebody who knows boxing and MMA at the top level. Anyway, crossing over to the boxing, this is something that happened several times in the past, along with some great fighters. Like, I remember James Toney tried it. That didn't work out with him when he fought John. Who did he fight?
Randy Couture.
Randy Couture. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today. Randy Couture stopped him. And James Toney had to tap out because he said, this is not for me. Once he got that little headlock on the canvas there, he said that was it. Then I remember a good friend of mine named Milo Savage. Milo Savage, a fighter who was a top contender in the middleweight division back in the 50s, and he tried to cross over to MMA. It was the first sanctioned MMA fight in the history of the sport.
Seriously.
And he fought a fellow by the name of Gene LaBelle. Lee LaBelle was a good MMA guy, and he challenged Milo Savage, and Milo Savage got tapped out. He did try for a while. I remember Milo Savage went in the ring with one glove on and the other left hand with no glove. And Milo Savage got taken down by Gene, had him on the canvas, and then he didn't know how to tap out, and the referee just let it go longer than what he should have. And Milo Savage was out for about 20 minutes. They had to revive him to bring him back. And it was not a good thing for my buddy Milo Savage. Milo Savage ended up coming back to Las Vegas. By the way, that fight took place in Salt Lake City in Utah.
Really?
Back in 1963. That was the first, like I said before, the first sanctioned comeback bout. Anyway, Milo Savage ended up being a boxing judge, and we worked for about 5 or 6 years in Atlantic City back in the late 70s and 80s, early 80s. He was a great guy, and I can tell you that today we had, most recent, the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight.
Sir.
Now, John, you saw the fight. Give me your take on it.
There were a lot of surprises in that fight. I think the biggest surprise out of all of them was how entertaining it was. We all knew that the pre-hype, the circus all before, was going to be entertaining. But the real question was, once they got in the ring, was it going to live up to it, even close? And it did. It was an incredibly entertaining fight. Conor impressed me with the way he was able to push the pace, with the way he was able to land some clean shots. He landed more shots than anybody. Than anybody who's ever fought Floyd. He landed 30 more punches than Manny Pacquiao in two less rounds. I mean, he really was impressive to me.
And the same thing with Canelo.
Yeah, oh, more than Canelo, more than Cotto, more than almost anyone. I mean, the guy's an absolute beast.
You know, for the first time in the ring, I got to give him credit. You know, I was training him for 5 weeks, and he was doing very well. I mean, I was surprised. Pleasantly surprised of his boxing skills, and I couldn't talk about it. Everybody wanted to know, you know, during the training process, Joe, you're training him on the rules on boxing, but can you tell us a little bit about how is he looking?
Yeah.
You know, especially when he was sparring with Paulie Malignaggi.
They
went for 12 rounds, and there was a war between these two guys, and I was a referee in there. I was saying, man, I've been retired from a referee for 5 years, and man, these two guys had me working my tail off that night. I really had to get in there, separate these guys, and get into their faces about, I mean, this fight really got into a real war.
A sparring session.
Yeah, sparring session.
Oh, wow.
And this is, in a sparring session, you take
it
easy and whatnot. No, these guys were going at it. Anyway, Paulie got to the point because somebody put out a photo and a couple of photos and a video clip of him.
Face.
Of him getting knocked down. Did he get knocked down? Was it a push? You know what? I said, you know what? I don't know. It was just a sparring match. I wasn't going to count it, whether it was a slip or knockdown. You know, kind of get up and keep going at it.
Yeah, it's a sparring session.
You know what? I was having fun.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the 12 rounds, they said to themselves, wow, we were kicking some butt in here amongst ourselves. And, you know, I almost thought I was going to get clocked by one of these guys. They were throwing punches left and right, and I had to go there and break him up. They threw a punch. I had to get out the way. I almost got hit, you know. So it was a good night of sparring, and it was a good night for for McGregor and Paulie. And you know what? I said, why don't we make that happen for real now that it's over with Floyd Mayweather?
Ooh.
Let's get these two guys to fight each other. Why not? Maybe the fans want to see it. Paulie's all upset. All the fans are saying, come on, Paulie, shut up already. You're complaining so much. I said, let's make the fight happen. Now they can do it again. Now that Conor has proven himself to be a worthy challenger in boxing, he got what it takes. You know what? Why not do it?
Yeah, those two have a history. When this Mayweather fight was first announced or first talked about before, that was when Malignaggi said he beat him with one hand behind his back. And then he brings him in for this sparring session. They both go crazy. All this stuff comes out of him getting knocked down. I mean, there's been a lot of talk back and forth from both of them. I think it'd be a fun fight to watch.
Anyway, going back to the fight itself.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the first round, it started out, I was sitting there not too far from the ringside. I was looking. I said to myself, wow. I looked around. The crowd that was in there, they had like almost 16,000 fans. They didn't sell out. However, the gross gate was greater than the Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
Really?
Yeah,
even without a sellout?
It was not a sellout, but it was like gross gate was like $80 million.
Oh, my God.
Compared to $72
million
with Pacquiao and Mayweather. I mean, it tells you something about the interest in the fight and the prices. They were going through the roof, but people wanted to see that fight. And, you know, that night I saw more celebrities, more Hollywood stars there than any other fight in the past, in most recent years. It reminds me of the days when Muhammad Ali was fighting Joe Frazier, when all those celebrities were at the fights there. But I'll tell you that this night of boxing with MMA star Conor McGregor was a night to remember, because it was a memorable night.
I agree.
It was the largest crossover, the first major crossover from MMA to boxing.
By far.
And, you know, like I said before, Mayweather came out there trying to figure out his opponent, because Conor had a style that was a little awkward.
Unorthodox, different.
Yeah, not something you normally see in boxing. So Mayweather was a little confused, you know. But I knew better, because I knew that McGregor, the way he was training in the gym, I was saying to myself, I've refereed so many world championship fights, close to 200 of them, closer.
Yes, you have.
And you know what? And watching this guy fight, I said to myself, I've seen all kinds of fighters. I've seen four-round fighters, six rounds, eight rounds. I've seen it coming up from the amateurs up to the championship level. And I've seen all kinds of styles. But McGregor had a unique style of his own.
That's for sure.
And that's what made it so different and difficult for Mayweather.
To figure it out.
Because he had to figure him out. And like a real champion, pound for pound, one of the best in the history of boxing, Mayweather, they figured him out, and after the fourth round, he started picking him apart.
Yeah,
and McGregor started to set the fatigue was starting to set in, and
definitely,
you can see that he was like, yeah, I could try to go as far as I can, but I was surprised, pleasantly surprised that it went 10 rounds.
I was too,
and he didn't get knocked out. It was stopped by the referee Robert Byrd, and at least he didn't get hurt. I think he was more fatigued than anything else. And the referee was doing a job. It was a fight that.
I got a question about that.
What was that?
His performance. I was Robert Byrd.
Okay.
There was a lot of things that happened. I've seen him get a lot of credit for letting them fight, and I get that.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, first of all, in the beginning of the fight, he's only talking to McGregor. I mean, he wasn't even hiding it. He was literally talking directly to McGregor with Mayweather right next to him. I mean, that seemed a little... Have you ever seen that before?
Okay, let's go to the next.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, what else?
I thought he was a little too far away from him. Like, in the clinching and the whole thing, it's funny, because there was all this talk before the fight about, would McGregor throw an elbow? Would McGregor throw a kick? I didn't see any of that coming. That was too insane to me. But where you did see his MMA influence was in the hammer fists, which, I mean, he warned him after the first one. He did three more.
Yeah.
I felt like you could have definitely taken a point away from him.
Yeah.
And then when it came to clinching, he really would try and wrestle him when he was clinching him, which was different than a normal clinch.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I tell my colleagues out there, when you get in that ring, you have to look at both fighters, giving the instructions, show that you're not favoring one over the other. You got to be neutral at all times. And you're right to some extent that, he was only talking to McGregor. But I know what he was trying to do, because he knows that Floyd knows the rules of boxing.
Exactly.
And he wanted to make sure that McGregor did not commit those fouls. He wanted to make sure.
Makes sense.
That's why he was looking at him directly about the rules of boxing, because he knew he was the one that really had to really follow the rules. But when you're a referee, you got to, they both start off even at the bell. So it's best to look at both fighters so it doesn't show that you're favoring. It looked like you're favoring one over
it
the other.
Like it. And during the fight, it didn't seem like he was.
No.
But in that beginning, that's just the wrong message to send.
Yeah. And if people think that he was favoring one over the other, he didn't take any point from McGregor. So it goes to show that he was not favoring Floyd over McGregor.
Do you have
McGregor.
An opinion on the hammer fist?
The hammer fist, I'll tell you, when I was training him, one of the things I was telling him, you can't do this. You can't hit behind the head because the referee is definitely going to take some points. But the referee didn't take any.
No, he did not. Which was surprising to me.
You know, but it was a great night of boxing. I remember going into the dressing room as soon as he got into the arena. I had told him, let me know when he's there. Cause I want to go back. So when they got me, I went to the dressing room, and he was there with his 3-piece suit, and he was fresh, and he had just walked into the room, and he had his baby with him, a little. Junior, wonderful looking, beautiful looking.
Was the baby wearing the suit?
No. He should have had he might have had a suit on.
He had a suit in the. There was a picture on the internet where he got his baby a 3-piece.
Yeah. He was laid on the sofa there in the dressing room, and his mom was right there. The baby's mom.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful couple. And I played with the baby a little bit there. I said, okay, Connor, we got to talk. Shortly you'll be in the ring, and we have to go over what we practiced for 5 solid weeks of the rules on boxing. You know the rules now. We have to follow them. I don't want you to commit any foul because if you do, I know the referee, Robert Byrd, is going to take some points. He will take them. There's no question about it. So please don't screw up because one point can cost you this fight. And, you know, I said, no, Joe, I got it down packed pretty good. And but you know when you get in that ring, when you get a Mayweather in front of you,
oh yeah,
it's like you look at the train coming at you. You say, hey, okay, no big deal, I can get out of the way. But when you're in that ring and you got that train coming at you with the fist, and they change from 10-ounce gloves to 8-ounce gloves, which is another topic, and we could talk about forever because the rules is to wear 10-ounce gloves for a fight that's 140 pounds. So anyway. Over 147 pounds. So they agreed to 8-ounce gloves. So now you know, and McGregor knows, they wear 4-ounce gloves in MMA. But in boxing, you got a Floyd Mayweather in front of you. Those punches, they start hitting you pop, pop, pop.
Oof.
And you start trying to get out of the way. So you're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable with that. And so, you know, everything changes. All you've been taught, and if somebody's coming at you, you're trying to survive, get out the way, especially after the 4th round. That's when you saw that McGregor started to get tired.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, you know, the adrenaline kicks in.
Of course.
The pressure is on, and you're supposed to try to be relaxed, you know, so you don't get as tired. But when you're in there and the guy's coming at you as much as relaxed as you want to be, especially if you never fought in boxing, there's a certain thing that you can do in MMA with all the pressure. You can deal with it because the rounds are shorter. And there's 5-minute rounds, but the number of rounds is shorter. Yeah, it's only
and
5 rounds.
I heard a lot of people beforehand saying that you get more fatigued in an MMA fight because you're wrestling and you're doing all this stuff, but it's a different kind of fatigued. Yeah. It's a totally different cardio.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you ever try to wrestle, somebody gets you,
and it's constantly muscle endurance.
Yeah, muscle endurance, and then you can get tired, but in boxing, it's a different kind of tire.
Cardiovascular, totally different.
I mean, you're getting punched to the body. You're getting punched to the head.
And he took some shots to the body throughout.
He took some good shot, yeah.
That's what Floyd does.
Well, Floyd got hit with a shot in the first round with a clean uppercut. With a left uppercut, boom. And you know what? I thought Mayweather's head was going to come off. You know?
When you watch it in slow motion again, and it was clean, and it was beautiful, but he caught him with like the outside of his glove.
Yeah,
if you go half inch...
Solid knuckles,
bam.
It would have caught him just right. Maybe Mayweather would have gone down.
That's a 40-year-old Floyd Mayweather taking a clean shot.
That's what I had predicted at the beginning. I said, watching the McGregor in sparring, I knew what he had. And I said, if he catches him solid with one of those punches, all he needed is one solid punch to catch him just right. Had he caught him just right, he was off by a little when he threw with that left uppercut inside. If he caught him just solid, maybe we'll be talking about a different outcome of the fight.
We very well could have been.
Because he could have easily knocked him out.
He was trying to in the beginning. I mean, he knew that was where his opportunity lied, and he was swinging like a madman. I mean, look, what was crazy to me, I think he missed 319 punches, and Mayweather total threw 320 punches.
Right.
So Mayweather only threw one more punch than he missed.
Right.
I mean, you can attribute a lot of the fatigue to that when you're just throwing. His hands were up like all the way the whole time, trying to keep him at bay. And then by the fourth round, they were a lot lower around his waist because he's just getting tired.
Exactly.
Throwing, swinging. I attribute a lot of the fatigue to that, and that's gonna. I mean, that's gonna do some damage to you. And it was kind of one thing that I kind of noticed is the fight kind of went in rounds of two, like increments of two.
Yeah.
Because in the fourth round was when you noticed he started to get tired. In the sixth round is when Mayweather turned up the aggression a little more. In the eighth round is when he clearly took control, and then right. It ended in the 10th round.
Right, exactly.
It was like the odd number of rounds just did whatever the round before that was doing still.
Yeah, you know, well, I could tell you that boxing that night was a night to be remembered, that we had an exciting – I think the fan, every fan I spoke to, I asked him about how do you like to fight. They said, oh, my God, Joe, we got our money thwarted. It was really worth it. They loved it because what's going to happen the next round?
Everybody, they were
just waiting to see if McGregor got lucky and did what he did in the previous rounds, in the first three rounds. But you saw that it started to catch up. Anybody in boxing can see that McGregor, after the fourth round, you can see his mouth was open. He started.
Oh, yeah, breathing through his mouth.
Yeah, fatigue was setting in. And when you see that as a fighter that I was, and I look at my opponent like that, I say, okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's ready to be taken. So, you know, you go for the body shots. You try to get him a little bit more fatigue. And everything that happened after that was just in favor of Mayweather. But I definitely gave McGregor the first three rounds.
Oh, unquestionably.
You know?
I think it was kind of in Floyd. Now, I don't think that Floyd let him hit him, like some people have said. That's ridiculous. But what I do think is, I think in his game plan, he was going to lose the first round or two. He was going to let him tire himself out. He wasn't going to throw a lot of punches. I mean, he threw, what, six punches in the first round? That's next to nothing.
Yeah, well, you know what? Mayweather knows boxing. That's why.
Exactly.
That's why he's a master.
A
he's a master at what he does. And in boxing, that's what you got to do. You got to figure out your opponent.
Just feel him out.
Feel him out the first, you know, first round, second round. See what he's doing, and then you go after him. And the more you go after him, after fatigue is setting in, now he's gonna start defending him. Try to defend himself. Now he gotta start thinking different. He starts saying, "Oh man, this is not turning out the way I thought it was gonna be." So he keeps on. Now with the pressure, and you saw a different Floyd Mayweather that night. You didn't see the Floyd Mayweather of the past, a Pacquiao type of fight. It was all defense. Now he was going forward. He's going after him. He's trying to go for the knockout. He wanted the knockout. He wanted to show the fans. He said, I didn't please the fans with the Pacquiao fight. He said, I got to show them now on my way out.
I like
that. This is the way I'm going to fight. This is the real Floyd Mayweather. This way the fans can say, you know what? We got our money's worth. Floyd didn't go out running. He was not giving us the kind of fight he did in the past.
Yeah.
Everybody called him a boring fighter. But, you know, the name of the game is hit and don't get hit.
Exactly.
But he took some chances with McGregor that night. After the third round, you can see that Floyd was back of himself. You know,
This was the most aggressive I've seen Floyd.
Yeah.
Since, in my opinion, Ricky Hatton, and yeah. At the end of Ricky Hatton, and you were, do you agree with that? Because you actually were the referee for that fight.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. He knows when a fighter is about to be taken, then
exactly.
He goes after him,
pounces.
And you know, Floyd Mayweather really has a style. It was not the Floyd Mayweather of the past, but it was a Floyd Mayweather. I would say he had a little spark of the old Flash.
For sure.
I mean, this is not Floyd Mayweather 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
No, he clearly was slower.
He was much slower.
Not as sharp.
He's not as sharp. But you know what? He gave the fans what they wanted. They got their money thwarted. So I think he did a good job.
I haven't heard one person say they didn't enjoy the fight.
No, exactly.
I mean, they might have been mad that because the guy they didn't root for won.
Right, right.
But nobody said it was a bad fight, which
is
all you heard after Pacquiao.
Exactly,
it was so much of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one was just way less of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, I didn't hear any of it. Like, I've heard nobody say it was a bad fight.
Yeah, totally.
That was the most surprising thing to me, even more so than how well McGregor did.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you got other fights coming up now. You got Lomachenko fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Guillermo Rigondeaux.
Oof.
Now, that fight going to take place in... someplace
at the end of the year, right?
At the end of the year, in December in New York City. That's going to be an interesting fight. I mean, as a fighter, the fans want to see Lomachenko fighting the also undefeated Olympic champion, the Cuban fighter Rigondeaux. Yeah, Guillermo Rigondeaux. And then you got next month. You got
that's the big one, baby.
That's the big one.
Oh,
you
I'm
got
excited for
Gennady
that.
Golovkin against Canelo Alvarez. It's going to be a real fight. I mean, talking about two. of the best in the prime. They're both in their prime.
At their peak. We haven't seen two of the best, like this caliber of fighter in their peak.
Exactly.
Fight each other in 10 years. I mean, honestly.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you know, later on, we're going to go briefly to Mark Ratner, and we're going to have Mark Ratner, former executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and now is presently the vice president of regulatory affairs for UFC.
Oh, I'm sure he has a really cool outlook on the way this went down, being a part of both of us.
He's going to share some of his intake of what happened at his recent fight with McGregor and Mayweather. And then we're going to have former two-time champion, super lightweight champion, and welterweight champion, the great Jesse Vargas, who last year fought Manny Pacquiao. And we see him now fighting again in the near future. Well, we're going to have him on the show as well. So we're going to have a good night of boxing.
Ah, that's exciting. I'm very excited. I'm excited for all these fights coming up. I'm excited for the one that we just saw recently. Honestly, this is boxing's back. I mean, boxing's in its prime. I've never been more excited to going into the end of a year than I am right now when it comes to boxing. And in my lifetime, I'm only 26. And so, you know, when I first started coming up, we were watching Tyson and Evander and a lot of these big guys.
Yeah.
And then it went into kind of the De La Hoya era and then the Pacquiao Mayweather era. And then it kind of got stagnant, but not in a bad way. It's just we didn't know who these superstars were yet. We do now. There's Lomachenko. There's Canelo. There's Triple G. There's Anthony Joshua. We have so many good fighters out there on the horizon.
Deontay Wilder.
Oh, Deontay Wilder. Yeah, no, I'm not leaving anybody out. How much time do we have?
There's so many great fighters out there. I mean, boxing is definitely on the rise. It proved out the pay-per-view for this fight. I believe it went over 4 million.
Oh, I mean, how much more proof do you need than that?
Yeah. And the gate, $80 million.
Compared
to Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather, that was $72 million. They broke that record with over $80 million.
My God.
It's unheard of. They say boxing is dead? Come on. Well, anyway, we're going to bring on Mark Ratner. Hello, welcome to the Fair But Firm Boxing Show. We have today with us none other than Mark Ratner, the former executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and now vice president of UFC Regulatory Affairs. Now, Mark's been around for many years in boxing, knows boxing inside out, and I remember him being in some of the biggest fights, and especially the bite fight with Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks, Joe. That fight happened 20 years ago, 1997. Amazing.
Mark, it seemed like it was yesterday. Now, this fight this past weekend, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. Now, you've been on both sides. You're on the side now of UFC. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened Saturday night and where's the future of Conor McGregor and, of course, UFC?
Well, it was a spectacle. There's no question about it, but it was more competitive than a lot of people thought it would be. I thought Conor, especially early in the fight, the first three, four rounds, he was very aggressive, and I thought he looked great. Floyd is a master of tactics, and he more or less let him punch himself out. And then as the fight progressed, you could see that Conor's arms were getting tired and his legs weren't moving as well. And slowly but surely, Floyd was able to keep punching him. And then referee Burt stopped it in the 10th round.
Yeah, and I feel that Conor McGregor, you know, I was involved with him as part of his team with the regulatory, the rules on boxing.
Right.
Which we tried to work on a lot, and I saw he got away with a little bit of the fouling without any points deducted by Robert Byrd, but I think he was trying to do the best he could, and it's very difficult to cross over from MMA to boxing. I got to take off my hat to him as well for a job well done. I congratulated him for doing what he did Saturday night, and I remember going into that dressing room before the fight, talking to him to give him a pep talk and making sure that we did what we trained him to do for the last 5 weeks, was try to work on those rules. And, of course, you know, give him the confidence. One thing about Conor, he had a lot of confidence going into this fight. He showed the world that he is a true warrior. He was not a guy to take a looking for a sore spot on the ring to go down. He wanted to fight to the end. Even when Robert Byrd stopped the fight, he wanted – you know what, I could still continue. Because in MMA, they used to either tapping out or whatever, getting knocked out. And he's a true warrior. But, you know, in boxing, as we well know, Mark, you taught us as well, that it better stop a fight too, a punch too soon than a punch too late. He can come back another day.
Yeah, no question. And you could see he just couldn't defend himself anymore. His whole demeanor had changed, and I have no problem with the stoppage at all.
Where do you see boxing today as to where it was years ago, and where is it going with this big show, this big event this past Saturday? I mean, it was the biggest pay-per-view event in any combat sport. And, of course, I see boxing back on the rise again. Do you see this crossing over MMA guys into boxing and boxing into MMA? Do you see some of that happening in the near future?
No, I don't think so. I think this was pretty much a special night. As you said, boxing is in a real upswing right now, and I'm very, very pleased. I'm looking forward to a Triple G Canelo fight next week, and that's or 2 weeks, whatever it is, September 16th. There's a lot of good fights. And still, boxing, it's real important when the heavyweights are good, and Anthony Joshua, and he looks like a real comer, and Deontay Wilder. So I think there's a lot of big fights out there. I thought Crawford looked great a couple of weeks ago. And obviously the Ukraine kid, Vasily Lomachenko. So there's a lot of good fights to be made.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But I still feel like the MMA, the UFC has done a great job bringing up the sport of MMA to the level where it's at today. I mean, this fight was talked about all over the world by all kinds of fans, not even boxing fans, not even MMA fans, but everybody had interest in this fight. I think there's going to be more MMA guys want to cross over, and they'll say, well, you know what? I want to learn more about boxing. I can learn a little bit more skills on boxing. I mean, you can't take it away from Conor. He fought. I mean, he hit Mayweather more punches than Canelo Alvarez. And then the other fighter,
Canelo. No, he
Canelo,
fought him.
Canelo.
He fought him really good. But there is very few guys in the world as skilled as Conor. And I don't know how many boxers that are MMA guys. I mean, it's something, but to be able to sell like this and be able to talk like Conor, it's a very special, special kind of fighter.
He did a good job on it, but
right.
I mean, Pacquiao and Canelo were not able to hit Mayweather as many times as McGregor did. You know, I mean, it goes to show that, I mean, it could have been the awkward style that McGregor had, but I mean, I remember in that first round, we hit him with our left uppercut, and it almost took Mayweather's head off. Everybody was like, wow, if this was going to happen tonight, I think he would have nailed him a little bit more solid. Mayweather would have gone down from that punch. But I see, Mark, these more MMA guys going into boxing. I just got that gut feeling. That's what I've been seeing on Twitter. And it seems to be a little interest coming into it. What do you think?
Well, I think there's definitely interest in it. People say, boy, I can make a lot more money, but it's not that easy. There may be a couple, but I just don't see it as a trend. And also, I'm not sure that that's what we want in MMA or the UFC. Each case will be different, but it's an interesting time. We'll see what Conor wants to do the next. Hopefully, he'll fight before the end of the year or early next year.
Now
we'll go from there.
Now, Paulie Malignaggi, you know, he was a bit upset about the sparring session we had. And where he got, there was that video clip came out of him hitting the canvas and whatnot. He'd been bad-mouthing McGregor so much during the week up to the fight. And I was on the show yesterday talking about Paulie happened to come out. It was a surprise to me. He was on the other end when I was doing the interview. But
right.
it seems like he wants to settle this score up with McGregor. What do you think, McGregor now fighting Paulie Malignaggi? See if they can shut him up once and for all. What do you think?
I think that would love it. Sure, he's a broadcaster now. He would come out of retirement for that. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. I think that Conor has his belt to defend. He needs to take care of some business here first. But could it happen? I guess possibly.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking down the road.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Now, Mark, boxing, let's go now to boxing. Boxing next month, you know, we have Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. It's a big fight. What do you see on this fight? What kind of a fight do you see here?
Well, what I like, and this goes back to my Tyson roots, I like fighters who come forward ready to fight at the opening bell. That's what I always loved about Tyson. And I think you have two guys here that come to fight. I don't think it'll be tactical. I think they'll come out, and we'll see who lands first. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Gennady he can whack and he can punch. So, and we'll see how Canelo how he reacts. And Canelo's a hell of a fighter. So it's a big time fight.
Yeah, you know, I remember when Canelo fought Floyd Mayweather a couple of years, two or three years ago. I felt that he was not ready for Mayweather, but he made a good paycheck. And plus, I think he learned a lot from that fight. I think it made him a better fighter. Some people are saying, why did they have him have a rematch now with Mayweather? But personally, I think Mayweather has reached his peak. I think he's overpeaked already. I think he's seen his better days, and he's smart enough to know how much he has left. He said this past Saturday that he's retiring for sure. This is his last fight. So we're going to scratch Mayweather out of that fight with Canelo. But Canelo definitely is a rising star in boxing. He's only, I believe, he's like 28 years old. So he's got a lot going his way. And Triple G is 31 years old. And
I think he's older. I think he's 34, 35 now, he can fight.
Well, time flies, you see. He can still fight, though. He's got it all. He's never really taken a pounding in there. He still has all his faculties. He's sharp. His reflexes are good. He definitely is a good puncher. He could take a good shot. So I think next month, September 16, you're going to see a good fight here in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it. I hope to be there.
Well, Mark, it's a pleasure talking to you once again. You're the best. We love you. Good luck to you.
Thanks,
your UFC, your MMA shows. You do great with UFC. We're very proud of you.
All right. Thank you again for your personal tour of the whole Boxing Hall of Fame, helping me out there. That was real important. Thank you.
Well, you heard it there from Mark Ratner, and now we'll go to our next guest, a two-time world champion, Jesse Vargas. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It really is a pleasure talking with the Hall of Famer referee. I mean, you're one of the most popular figures in the game, so thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on our show, Jesse. Jesse, now, this past weekend we had a big fight. One of the biggest comeback sports in boxing history. We've never seen anything like the spectacle like this, with a fighter who's never really fought once in the pros, but is a champion, a big hero champion in the MMA, UFC, he's a two-time, a two-division champion, featherweight and lightweight champion, and he fought Floyd Mayweather Jr. for the 12-round fight Saturday night. Now, we know that McGregor came in there as a novice, not knowing much about boxing, but he gave Floyd a little run for his money. What do you have to say about this fight?
Well, I mean, first of all, respect to both fighters. You know, as you said, Conor went into the game not knowing much about it. I don't know what to expect, but he gave it his all, and it went much longer than we all anticipated. I figured personally that he'd only go 6-7 and possibly even 8 rounds at the most. They were both giving it their all. He was connecting when he could. He took chances. He got connected as well. But overall, at the end result, Floyd was just too smart.
Yeah,
had a great tactic, great plan, and just took over.
Now, what do you think about the first three rounds? I mean, he came out the first round, the second, third round. What do you think about those first three rounds?
I think the first three rounds were the rounds where Floyd was just paying attention to what he had and what he came with and what awkward style he had.
Right.
And after that, once he had him figured out, he said, okay. I mean, if I recall correctly, the fourth round is when Floyd really started landing those big right hands, which was two consecutive big right hands back-to-back. Right. And I said, okay, Floyd's taking over. But it seemed like Floyd was still doing his homework, didn't want to take any chances. But also wanted to give the fans a fight. He promised them a fight, and that's what he wanted to give them. That's why he came in, guns blazing, and hands up, and whether he was receiving or not, he was just pushing and coming forward.
Yeah, we saw a different Floyd Mayweather, and I guess he had the confidence knowing that McGregor was not a fighter who had much boxing. He had more of a, he's an MMA guy. He figured that maybe this guy was not going to do much to him, so he felt I better just go right after and try to put him away quick, hurt him quick. You know, when you get a fighter and you start controlling the fight right off the back, you know, you get the confidence and the guy starts more, going more on the defense, and that this is where fighters then have to try to move around and, like you said, figure him out, you feel him out. The first couple of rounds are always a feel-out round. It's nothing like the feeling out round. You remember the Sugar Ray Leonard, I take it back, Tommy Hearns and Marvin Hagler. The first belt, that. Those guys came out blasted. There was no feeling out in that fight. They came out the first four rounds. They were banging like they hated each other forever. They wanted to just kill each other, knock each other's heads off. There was no feeling out there. But 99.9% of the fights, you know, I know boxing, that we have to feel out your guy, see what he's doing. And that's just what Floyd Mayweather was doing Saturday night. He was trying to figure him out. He says, hey, I got 12 rounds to go. I'm not going to rush into this. And that's just what he did. But I take off my hat to McGregor for giving the effort. A lot of fans thought he'd probably go one round, two rounds, and that would be it. But to everybody's surprise, you know, as a warrior that he is, a champion in the MMA with UFC, he gave it a try. He gave it a shot. But you can see, you know, when you're in that ring, you will know, Jesse, as a champion that you've been, when you go in there, the adrenaline kicks in, then the pressure builds up, and all that takes a lot from you, especially. You can spar 12 rounds in the gym, which McGregor did, and of course, I was in there with him, refereeing those sparring sessions with him and Paulie Malignaggi and other fighters. But, you know, he looked real good. He had the conditioning up to the end of 12 rounds with 12-ounce gloves, 16-ounce gloves, and the headgear. And, of course, in boxing, you know, that in the real thing, when it comes up to the showdown, you put on those gloves, the real fight gloves you're going to wear that night, no headgear, and they had 8-ounce gloves. I mean, the pressure builds up. It takes a lot out of you, especially when you're trying to defend yourself and get off at the same time. You know, it takes a lot. And I was surprised that it went out 10 rounds. But Mayweather showed that he still has a little spark of the old flash. He definitely was not Floyd Mayweather up the past. He has reached the end of his career. He announced his retirement that night. I think he's got a 50-0 record now. He's done it all. He's made all the money he wanted to make. What else do you expect?
Yeah, I would like to see him retire after this. 50-0, made his mark. He has no more need to be in that ring. You know, I believe that he has made history. He doesn't need to prove anything else. And, I mean, he is older now. As you said, Joe, he doesn't seem like the same Mayweather that we're so used to seeing from years ago. So, of course, he has his ring generalship and his intelligence, his ring IQ. But it's time for him to hang up the gloves and hang them up while he's on top.
Let me ask you a question. You know, you're a champion. You're a fighter. Would you like to get one shot at him and say, let's have one before you really retire? Give me a shot at you. Do you think you deserve to have a shot at Mayweather?
I would want to see him retire. I mean, just because, I mean, if I was an ordinary fighter, I'd say, let's do it. But I'm more than that. You know, I'm a friend of his. He's a friend of mine. And I have much respect for him. And I wouldn't like to face him personally. I know that surprises a lot of people, but I would just like to see him retire on top. And he's done a lot, you know, in the sport. And that's the way that I like to see him finish his career, you know, is on top.
You see, Jesse, that's why you're so special. You see, you got a heart, your loyalty. You are a true champion inside the ring and outside the ring as well. I like the way you carry yourself. What you said just now shows about who is Jesse Vargas. Jesse Vargas is a real, true champion. I mean, I've always told you before, you're a great guy and a great friend, and you really show it just by me asking that one question. And everybody else would jump on and say, yeah, I like to fight him. You know, yeah, they're thinking about making all that money, but with you, it's not about that. It's a loyalty that you have towards Mayweather. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Well, I mean, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, you know, and, you know, you can't buy respect, you know, and that's the way it is, you know, and, um,
But he performed well, and he gave the people what they wanted to see, because I think that everybody just wanted to get that answer to curiosity, who would win between a UFC fighter and an MMA fighter.
Okay.
And they got their money's worth.
Yeah, they sure did. Now, let's go to the next step. Next fight coming up, the big one, September 16th. Now, that's a real fight. Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin, Triple G Golovkin. What can you tell me about this fight?
It's a terrific matchup. I don't know who to go for. I think that it's a 50-50 fight where neither or the other has a benefit or a the upper hand. You know, it's an even fight. But I will say this. In my opinion, Joe, if Triple G wins, he wins by knockout. And if Canelo wins, it's because they win the decision.
Okay. Do you think that Canelo, with his last fight he had with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., what he showed that night, was that enough to convince you that he has what it takes to go up against Triple G?
No, it wasn't enough. But I believe that his fans are waiting and hoping that he will be able to rise to the occasion, which he has done in each one of his fights. You know, he did against Cotto. He did it against Floyd. He did not, definitely didn't do it against Floyd, but against Cotto and a couple other fighters, you know, he rose to the occasion. So we'll see if he's able to rise to the occasion come September 15th.
Yes, it's going to be a good, interesting fight that night. And the fans are looking for...
We have a busy month, Joe, because we got September 22nd, you have El Zurdo Ramirez. He's fighting... also in a big fight. He's a WBO world champion, I believe, in the 175 class. And then you have Chocolatito Roman Gonzalez versus Rumbi Sai, which is September 9th.
Right.
That one is going to be a fight to see. I believe that fight is going to be a better fight. It's going to be the best fight of the month. It's Rumbi Sai against Chocolatito Roman Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And then another fight that you have is Carlos Cuadras against Estrada, which is going to be on HBO.
Yeah.
And, man, that's going to be fireworks September 9th. The name that they came up with is Superfly, because they're going to have three top flyweight fighters fighting on that show. It's going to be something else.
Yeah, it's going to be a sizzling night of boxing. And I can tell you that people are saying that boxing is dead. I don't know what the hell they're watching. Boxing is really up on the rise. I mean, boxing has got some of the best fights coming up. We had some great ones in the last year or so. And now with all this attention that we're getting this coming month now, especially Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin, Chocolatito Gonzalez, Zurdo Ramirez. I mean, they got so many great fighters that are up on the rise and still not household names. And Chocolatito Gonzalez, probably perhaps pound for pound the best fighter in boxing today, but he's only a flyweight, you know? But I think people, once you start getting that exposure on one of the major networks, people start realizing and recognizing his name, Chocolatito, like chocolate, Chocolatito Gonzalez. He's a hell of a one. He's a hell of a fighter. He really got what it takes. But you know what?
The fans
want to see you, Jesse. They love you. You're a handsome guy. You can punch. You can talk. You can walk the walk. You do everything, man. People want to see you champion again. Who do you think will be your possible opponent for the near future for a championship fight for you?
Who do I think? Or I would hope that it would be anyone in the top 10. You know, I've always said it. You name them. I want the fans to name the fighters that they would like for me to fight or who they would want me to face next. And I would pursue it. You know, I have my advisor right now. His name is Guadalupe Valencia. He's working on all the details now on helping me get back in the ring very soon. I don't have any updates just yet. We hope to know very, very soon. But, you know, as of now, we are waiting on the call. But I do look forward to becoming world champion again. I'm still very young. I will tell all my fans that are listening in that I'm working very hard. I'm only getting better every day that goes by. I know that my last fight was against Pacquiao in November of last year, 2016. But, you know, I've only gotten better since then, because that experience, just being in front of a fighter of that caliber, you know, you take the best out of that situation. You learn to take what worked for him, what worked for you, what you could have done better, what was working for him at the time as well. You know, and you apply it to my style.
So that's what I've been doing. I've been practicing. That way when I come back, I want to come back with a boom, you know, and impress my fans and say, wow, Jesse Vargas, this is an upgrade to the older Jesse Vargas, because that's our plan as a fighter, is to continue to improve. You know, that way our fans continue and getting surprises from us.
Absolutely. You know, Jesse, I think that you're definitely one of the up-and-coming champions again, because you've been a two-time world champion, a junior welterweight champion, a welterweight champion, and I can see you. I can see you even growing up to a super welterweight in the near future as well, because you're still young and you still got, you know, you got it all. I mean, you got the punch. You definitely can take a shot, and I mean, you definitely are one of the better ones out there. We're looking forward to seeing you in the very near future, fighting for a major fight or fighting directly with a. I think a nice tune-up fight would be good before you go into a title fight, and I can see that happening in the very near future. Hopefully, before the end of the year.
You know, you have the same idea as my advisor. That's the same thing he tells me. He says, Jesse, you know, I know you want to fight for a world title, but you know, let's come back with, in a good fight against one of the guys in the top 10, and then we'll chase the title after. Because, you know, as you know, Joe, every fighter normally wants to fight for the title quickly, as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
but you're probably right. You know, it has been a while since I've been in the ring, so I'm going to go with your advice and with my advisor's advice, which is to, you know, just get someone within the top 10, and after that, go for the title. But we're still waiting on the date. The minute that we know, we will let you know, and I hope that, you know, we'll be on the show again and that we'll be able to let everyone know.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, you definitely are young. There's no rush. You know, you can work it out just right. Get the nice tune-up fight. Then we go for the title fight, and then you're on your way. Jesse, thanks a lot for being on the show. We love you. We hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you. Same here. And once again, thank you for having me on the show, Joe. And I hope to see you very soon. Take care. Thank you to everyone that's tuning in.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse. And welcome again, guys, fans. We heard none other than Jesse Vargas on the Fair But Firm Boxing Talk Show. We'll talk to you again next week.